Brian Noonan is playing on the radio, baby.
News, traffic, sports, weather. News, traffic, sports, weather. News, traffic, sports, weather. News, traffic, sports, weather. The bell tolls. It's
Noonan o'clock.
I hear voices in my head. They talk to me.
You're stealing my pot pie.
Bernard, did you rip up the store today?
Yeah, he's got the salt cracklers.
No, Mama, I was a good employee today.
Well, son, I said, son, let me get myself a daiquiri over here. Run down, pick me up a moon pie and an RC Cola. I'm going to meet you down by Kirk with Luda Warsh.
You could say I'm a little bit crazy.
That is the most sinister call laugh that we've ever had on this program, Cody. You need to isolate that laugh.
Noonan o'clock.
Chi-town, stand up. Chi-town, stand up. Chi-town, stand up. Chi-town, stand up. 312.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big fat show tonight. Oh. Yeah, it's the big show. Come on, crank it up and turn on all the lights, y'all. Oh. Well, get ready for something that you'll never know.
All right, listen, we can't do the whole open. We don't have a lot of time.
It's our show's half over.
Listen, already done. No. Hi, welcome. It's Brian Noonan, 720 WGN. Good to have you along. We're firmly ensconced in the Allstate Showcase studio, as we always are on Sunday nights, unless something happens, and then we're not here. But today we're here. Big show planned. By big show, I mean 48 minutes of program, and it's always more fun. You know that when you get involved. 312-981-7200. That's the phone. That's the fax. When you call in, you'll be talking to Yoon. You probably talk to him during the Wintrust business lunch. Rules still apply. You're nice to him, you get to me. That's how it works. You can also keep in touch with us over social media, Facebook and Twitter. It's Brian Noonan Show. I alluded to the fact that we're only here for 48 minutes. That is because Blackhawk hockey comes your way at 7 o'clock. Judd Surratt will have the pregame. And then John and Troy have all the action as the Calgary Flames come into the UC to take on the Blackhawks. I like to say Calgary because that's how the Canadians say it.
That is?
Now, here we say, sure, if you listen to Troy will say it that way a lot of times.
Okay.
The Canadian announcers will say it that way. The hockey intellectuals will say it. The intelligentsia of hockey will say Calgary.
Oh, interesting.
And so I like to be a poser, and I will also say Calgary. All right. You know this program is about being lighthearted most of the time. We try to ease you out of the weekend and back into your week, but we can't not talk about what's been happening in Paris. I know some of you are thinking, I've heard about it all weekend. I was sitting in for Roe on Friday afternoon when this all broke, and it has gotten progressively worse throughout Friday night. Things seem to have settled down a little bit now, but now we get reports that France has launched massive airstrikes, dropping at least 20 bombs in Syria on what are supposed Islamic State headquarters. There's video that's surfacing on the internet now that has not been confirmed, that showing the aftermath. But again, unconfirmed video, so it could be any bombing site. We don't know. We do know that the French planes took off. We do know that the bombs have been dropped. And the other thing that we know now, and Roger, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is French authorities are saying that in the aftermath of Friday night, they had actually stopped and detained for a little bit one of the people who is now a suspect in the terror attacks. And after they checked his ID, everything matched and they let him go. And now they're looking for him again.
Yeah. And they claim that they found the car
right
that he was driving abandoned not too far away. They are looking for him. They have arrested several family members of one of the attackers.
Yeah, his father.
And there have been some raids also in Belgium.
Right. Because, as you know, listen, everybody thinks they're smart,
mm-hmm,
but these guys left a Belgian parking ticket in the rental car.
Yeah.
And that's how they tracked them down, which is, you know, great. Let these people be fine. And I you know, if we were just sitting at the bar, I'd be using different terms than people. And I think
right,
that's what most of us are doing. And I think I'm not one of these knee-jerk, nuke everybody reactionary types. But I'll tell you, when you hear a president, like France's president the other night, say they would retaliate by any means necessary, mm-hmm. and they would do what it was because this was an act of war, which it is, then to see them following up tonight, I can't say I'm happy, mm-hmm. but it's good. This is what needs to be done. You have to, sometimes you have to meet violence with violence, and you have to meet evil with a strong response, because we can talk. Everybody can pontificate. Everybody can try to come up with the best plan. There is no good plan. Listen to any military experts, and I'm not talking about candidates who are trying to get elected. I'm talking about military people who come on and talk. Mm-hmm. People who are actually educated in this, not just anybody with internet access who's going to post a story from one website or another and use it as a platform for their harebrained stances on everything and try to tie every belief they have onto every event. Because mm-hmm. this event is isolated, unfortunately. This event is its own. This event right. has no bearing on gun control in Texas.
None.
This event has no connection to, you know, what you could say it's connected to U.S. government policies, which it probably is in some way.
But if you spend time talking about the what was
right
about that, then you're not dealing with the what is and what might be.
And if you're one of these people who are going to take I'm not an apologist for the president. He can mm-hmm. apologize. He can stand up for himself.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to take little clips out of an interview he did with George Stephanopoulos and use the tragedy in France to further your political agenda of getting, you know, of deriding the president, even though he's only in office for another year,
mm-hmm.
I think that's despicable. I think at this point, this is one of those instances where we have to all work together. You know, that was, if any good came out of 9/11. Any good at all, it was the couple weeks after the tragedy where everybody worked together and things actually got done, because people put aside their bias, people put aside bipartisanship, people decided, you know what, we have a common goal now. We have to find out who did this, we have to strike back, and we have to get some sort of payback.
But I think the difference here now is that this didn't happen here.
Well, I understand.
And so,
and that's unfortunate because, you know, and maybe you think this way too, 312-981-7200. I was talking to my daughter the other night, Friday night after this all happened. And she's, mm-hmm. you know, she's in school in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So I talk about that a lot. So she said to me, you know, I try not to think about this a lot when I go out to places, but I do tend to get nervous when I'm at a concert, or when I'm at the football game, or sometimes whenever I'm in a big crowd, it starts to creep in that, you know what, maybe this could happen. And I know this attack happened in France. And even Friday night when we were covering it, and we didn't go wall to wall, we took updates. We had Judy Pilak was doing a great job in the newsroom. She would jump in whenever something new happened. We
right.
talked about it. But there were people who were texting in saying, you're always focusing on the negative. This happened somewhere else. Why do we care? Why do we care? Because as quickly as it happened in Paris, it could happen here. And if you don't think it can, then you're naive. 312-981-7200. Does it worry you? Is it changing your behavior? Are you thinking, well, you know what? You're going to the Blackhawks game tonight. They have enhanced security. I was there Thursday night. Now they've got the metal detectors. They've got the whole thing. Is that making you feel a little safer? Or do you worry sometimes that, you know what? It could happen. Yun is used to working with Steve Bertrand, who's very professional and on time, mm-hmm. and so he's flailing about for me to take a break. So we will take that break just to make Yun happy, and because we only have another, you know, 40 minutes of show left, so let's get the commercials in when we can on WGN. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. Blackhawks hockey, 7 o'clock, the pregame with Judd Surratt, and then John and Troy have all the action at 7:30. The Calgary Flames come into town to take on the Blackhawks. I mentioned I was at the UC the other night for the game, and this was my first game of the season, and I had forgotten that there were the new enhanced security measures at NFL stadiums and at NHL stadiums. I would assume they have them for Bulls games as well. But it did seem to slow things down. I don't know. I don't think I felt any safer because there was a metal detector at the gate. I felt a little more inconvenienced because we were running late, quite frankly, and we're trying to get in before the initial face-off. But you know, that's kind of what we do. We carry on.
Well,
which is what you have to do.
Right. We should be used to it by now because of the airlines. They've been doing it for several years now.
Well, sure. Well, the airlines have been doing it since post 9/11, and now it's there. And at least I didn't have to take my shoes off going into the UC. I just had to wait in line. And then it's that, you know, is your phone in your pocket? Do you have change in your pocket? Yeah. I'm lifting things up.
Did they use the hand one, or is there an actual?
Both.
Oh, both.
You walk through the little archway of doom, and they check you, and then they either pat you down, or if something beeps up, they run the wand over you. I think the guy I was with got wanded after we walked through. I walked through unscathed because at the last minute I remembered my phone was in my pocket too, because I had thrown my keys down there and my change because you know I like to weigh myself down with about 10 pounds of change.
Oh, of course.
Give myself a low center of gravity in case I'm in a fight.
All those credit cards in your wallet weighing you down.
No, it's change. I don't have credit or cash. A couple rolls of quarters.
There you go.
But that was that. All right. I asked if this was the attacks in Paris were going to change or make you feel a little more apprehensive when you went out over the weekend or in the next couple of weeks until we forget about it and something else comes along. Eduardo is hanging on. Hi, Eduardo.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm going to be continue doing my normal routine. In fact, I plan on traveling next month. The only thing that I hope that these countries do a better job is that they have are a little bit more stricter on immigration. That way we're not profiling people when they're already in this country or in other countries.
So if we stop people before they come in, then we don't have to worry about profiling them once they're here. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I get that. That makes sense. The chicken and egg argument, I guess. Thanks, Eduardo. Yeah, we can't just worry too much. And that's what I tried to tell my daughter, because she was, you know, sometimes she freaks out a little bit. She gets a wee bit panicky. And I said, just, you know, go on about your business. What are we going to do? You know, you hope that the intelligence community is working hard enough. They said, now, according to reports, again, unconfirmed, and I read these, they were on the AP, that there had been intelligence chatter. There had been talk of an attack coming in Paris, but there were no specific dates or times. And French officials say, listen, we get these every day, as I'm sure Chicago does and New York does and every major city in the world gets these kind of reports that there may be something cooking and you got to be careful. And, you know, it's up to the people in charge to weigh those out and figure out which ones are credible and which ones aren't. And, you know, hopefully they're right more than they're wrong. And I would, if you're to believe what we hear, they are right a lot more than they're wrong. And we don't know about it, which quite frankly, at some point I'm okay with. I don't need to know every time they stop somebody because that's, you know, that's the kind of covert work I think should be happening to protect us.
That's the way you want it. You don't want to be living in fear every second.
I want someone, as Jack Nicholson said in A Few Good Men, I want someone on that wall.
There you go.
I'm not going to stand on that wall. My balance is off. I want somebody else up there who can take care of business, and they're stopping people. And you know what? If it's a huge thing and we need to know, tell us. If it's day-to-day kind of stuff, that's what you're there for. All right, we got to take a quick break. Then it's news time, 720 WGN. Brian Noonan on 720 WGN. 22 minutes of broadcast excellence left to go. I don't know if it's,
award-winning.
Is it award-winning?
I think will be up for an award.
Will be. It will be?
Well, you got to do it first.
I think posthumously I'll probably get some sort of award for tenacity.
They'll give you
in
a
the
fine,
face of danger.
A fine how do you do?
You think?
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we're here till 7, and then it's Blackhawks hockey. And as I mentioned earlier, Scott Darling starting in net tonight. I once again got to prove that despite my tough exterior, when it comes down to facing down wildlife, I am a sissy baby. I don't know if you've had this experience. I don't know if you have run-ins with wildlife at your house. I hope you don't. I know sometimes in the inner city, rats can be as big as other forms of wildlife. That
yes,
we,
they
you may
can.
See. Could be a fox, could be a cat, could be a rat, anything.
Raccoons and possum.
Yes. Possum is the winner for
this story.
Possum is the winner. The other night, I'm in the house, and my dogs are lunatics anyway. They, as you know, dogs bark at everything, which is why you have them, part of the reason, to keep things away. But my dogs were going, the old dog was going exceptionally crazy.
More so than usual, barking,
yeah. Screaming. So I go out in the yard, and I see him crouched. I have a grill, an old grill that I'm trying to get rid of, and it's next to the garage, and it's got the cover on it, and the dog is laying on his belly with his nose kind of trying to wedge under the grill, and he's going nuts.
Mm.
So I'm like, all right, I call him, and usually he comes, he doesn't. I grab the flashlight, and I go down, and as I turn on the flashlight, I see something is amiss. There is some sort of critter behind the grill. I think it's a squirrel, but then I think to myself, well, squirrels usually just run very fast.
Yeah.
So I go up, and I grab the dog by the collar, and I drag him into the house, and I go back out to investigate.
Uh-oh.
I shine it. There's a possum. I get the dog in. Now I see it's a possum. I go back in and I say to my wife, hey, let's call animal control. There's a possum in the yard. Because I think animal control comes and gets animals like that. That's
wrong.
What they do. They don't. I learned this. They don't come and get the animal. The person who my wife talked to said, yeah, we don't do that. We can put you on a trap list. And my wife said, well, how long will that be? It could be a week. Could be 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, you think the possum is going to sit there for 2 weeks waiting for you to come trap it, bureaucrat Johnson? No, the possum is going to take off, which the possum did.
All right.
I went back out after dinner. The possum's gone. Oh, great. Let's let the dogs out. Well, on the other side of the garage, I have a wheelbarrow turned over to keep out of the way. And I have a little piece of that landscape fence that you get at Home Depot and you just stick in the ground because there was mud over there and I didn't want the dogs tracking it in. Well, the dog goes crazy again. Now I've seen that he has ripped the landscape fence out of the ground, and he is back banging on the wheelbarrow.
Is there any space between the lip of the wheelbarrow and the ground?
There's enough, I would say, 2 to 3 inches.
It
kind of arcs up. That's enough because there it was. I get the dog out, and I put the fence back up, and I say to my wife, you know, the possum's under that wheelbarrow. She's like, yeah, no lie. Possum's under the wheelbarrow. Go get it. What am I going to do with
that? Wait, this is the wife telling
you. The wife's telling me to go get the possum. Well, she knows the city has already let her down. They're not coming.
Right.
They're not coming to get this possum.
Right.
I can't have the dogs going out because back when we lived in Frankfurt, the dog had a run-in with a possum and ended up with a huge scratch on his nose, and we had to, monitor it so it didn't get some sort of diseases. And even there, the cops came out, shined the light on the possum, went, yep, that's a possum, and then they left. I was like, thanks. I don't need Lester Fisher from the Liga Park Zoo to come by and tell me that I know what a possum looks like. And there's the debate, too. Is it possum or opossum? I say possum because, I have
an apostrophe.
Just possum because I have a deep hillbilly core. Anyway, to shorten this up, but it's so now I get a rake from the garage.
Oh, great.
And I'm standing behind the little landscape fence because that's going to protect me from a wayward possum. The wheelbarrow is just out of it. So I reach over the fence with the rake, and I kind of lift the wheelbarrow up by the back. It's a plastic wheelbarrow. So I lift it up, and there's the possum curled up. And it turns and hisses. You ever been hissed at by a possum, Yoon?
Yes.
Yoon hasn't, sure.
Yoon hasn't? Not yet. No.
Well, listen, dude, it's nothing you want to see because they got dead eyes, dead black eyes, and they turn at you.
And sharp claws, too.
And their teeth.
Teeth.
Razory teeth and pointy. Oh, they're horrifying.
And now both your hands are occupied holding this rake, which you...
Well, no, one hand's holding the rake. One hand's balancing myself on the corner of the garage so I don't fall over. Because if I fall over the landscape fence, I know the possum will have its way with me.
Oh.
And there's one thing I'm not doing is dying face down in the mud at the hands of a possum. I'm going to go out some other way. So now I'm balancing myself. I get the wheelbarrow up. The possum hisses at me, and I immediately drop the wheelbarrow and shriek.
Yeah!
So now I know the possum's over there. And my wife is standing behind me about 8 feet holding the flashlight. And I say, all right, I have to get it out. I have to get this possum out. So now what I do, because it's a chain link fence between my yard and the neighbor's yard.
Okay.
I go into the neighbor's yard. So now I have an actual chain link fence between myself and the possum. And I figure what I'm going to do is I'm going to flip that wheelbarrow on its side with the rake. And then I'm going to terrify the possum, and it'll scurry away.
All right, now where's your wife when you've
gone
over?
My wife is still standing in the same place, shining the flashlight, going, you be careful. A minute ago, you were telling me to get the possum out of there. Now you're telling me to be careful.
And how much space between the bottom of the chain link fence and the ground?
Where I was standing, none.
Okay.
Down toward the alley, there's enough. That will play into the story momentarily.
Oh, you see how I think these? Okay, go ahead.
Well, in my haste to drop the wheelbarrow the first time when I shrieked, it kind of dropped cockeyed, and part of it was wedged under the fence or into the fence. So now I'm leaning over the chain link fence, standing in my neighbor's yard, trying to lift the wheelbarrow with the rake, and it's stuck on the fence.
Sweet.
And I hear and I see the possum. Not completely, but I see its little gray and white visage just in there, and I hear him, sah, sah, sah. And I know he's saying, I'm going to kill you. That's what he's saying in possum. So finally, now I'm using both hands on the rake, and I'm leaning. Imagine the chain link fence hits me waist high. So I'm bent over the chain link fence with the rake in two hands, trying to lift up the wheelbarrow. I finally get it flipped on the side. Now there's the possum.
And he didn't move?
Oh, no, he didn't. Ooh. Because, as you know, possums, they don't really see well. They're nocturnal.
Right, right.
So it's hypnotized by the flashlight beam that my wife is shining in its eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I poke it with the rake, gently
oh,
at first.
Oh, come on!
Gently, I poke it with the rake, not with the prong part of it.
Right,
but still. To poke it, I wanted to, it's got to get out of there.
Don't poke a possum.
I poked the possum, and again it went, and that scared me again, and I shrieked again. And so now I poke it again, and it's still hypnotized by the light, shrieking at me. I'm poking the possum, which is not a euphemism, and it finally starts to turn. So now I'm poking it in the back
turning
end.
Turning where? Which way?
Turning toward the alley.
Oh, okay.
Because it realized it's not coming after me because I've got a rake. So I'm poking it, and then finally it scurries off and digs under the fence out into the alley, and I see it go down, I see it go down, and I hear it roll through the bushes a couple houses down. So now it's the neighbor's problem. But I was hyperventilating. I was terrified. I really shouldn't have any interaction with any sort of violence. My dogs they're domesticated, and it's hard enough for me to deal with them. Katie has a story she wants to share with us. We'll get to Katie's possum story right after this on 720 WGN. All right. The possums had overtaken the yard, and by the possums, I mean the one possum who hissed at me and scared me. When I say like a little girl, ladies, don't be, it could be like a little boy to a toddler boy. I shrieked like a toddler boy who had wet himself, who found himself, just terrified. That was me. And Katie's been holding on. She wants to share a possum story. Hi, Katie.
Yes. Well, I want to tell you, we lived on 10 acres and had horses, and my husband, this is in daytime, was going in the tack room, and here's this big possum, they are so ugly, laying on the steps. So he picks up a rock and going to throw at him, thinking he's going to chase it away.
Sure.
Well, it falls over on its side, and he goes, oh, God, I killed it. I said, no, it's playing possum. They lay there. That's why they don't move. They lay there thinking, because most animals will go after their cursorial, and they'll chase something, but they don't go after something dead, so they lay there and play possum.
Oh,
well,
that makes sense.
Well, come to find out. Yeah, well, anyway, be real careful, honey, because come to find out, it had distemper, and they will bite you. They have terrible teeth, if you saw.
I saw the teeth. I saw them.
Yeah, they get distemper and rabies, and we had to have somebody come and shoot it.
Oh, my God.
Just be careful next time, yeah. But what they do is they play possum. They pretend they're dead. That's why he just laid there. He wanted you to think he was dead, and you wouldn't bother him.
I knew better than that, though, Katie. I knew that possum was alive, because he'd run from one side of the yard to the other.
Yeah. But be real careful because they're usually nocturnal, but be really careful because they are very aggressive.
Right.
And if you keep poking, and be careful. You don't want to get bit.
No, I had
and raccoons are very. They get distemper and rabies a lot. Well,
Katie, I appreciate the concern. I had two fences and a rake between me and the possum. Thanks for the call. From the 269, here's how we rural folks handle possums. Take the dogs out on a leash. Go back in the house. Possum leaves at his own good time. Sure, that's a rational way of thinking about it. But then I gotta, take the dogs out by myself. Sure.
Right.
I mean, that's great advice. Somebody else, possums are ugly, but they're good eating. That's
no.
I don't know about that. And there's certain things I will not eat.
Now we did have one too.
You did
in the city. Well, I mean, you're in the city too. But sure. This was long, long time ago. We were living on the top floor.
Okay.
Of our
you had a
building.
Possum in the top floor of the building.
This is. Rogers Freak, Park area.
Freaky possum.
And the thing was, there was a dumpster out on the alley. Well, that's where you take the garbage out to. But
wait a minute. Hold on. Really?
Hold on.
Wait, No, we want to clarify your story because dumpster is where you take the garbage out?
Yes,
is that correct?
Sir.
Okay.
But.
Yes, but.
The landlord at the time had the garbage cans on each floor of the back stairs, on each landing. So you could put your garbage in there, then the landlord would come by a couple of days.
Oh, and they take it out to the alley for you?
Take it out to the alley for you. Now they've done away with that.
Yeah.
One day, my wife opens up the door to take a bag of garbage out, and sitting on top of the garbage can was a possum who turned at her and pretty much did the same to her that your friend did to you.
He's not my friend.
He loves you very much, you know that.
I would have hit him with a rake if he came at me. Punctured his little possum head with a rake tine.
You're evil. You would have run scared, lifted up your little skirt,
No, no, no. Had he come at me, I would have hit him. I don't want to kill any animal, even if it's hissing at me with crazy teeth.
Right.
But had it attacked me, I'd have Happy Gilmore'd it with the rake. I would have chip shotted that possum right across the alley into the neighbor's yard.
How's your golf swing lately?
Well, you would have seen my short game would have been fantastic. I would have, my grip would have been tight and bam, it would have been all wrist. I would have taken a divot and everything. I wouldn't even replace it because it'd be possum divot. I would have left it right out there. Brian, get a Jack Russell Terrier. We have one and she's killed over a dozen possums.
What?
Wow. All right. So now instead of taking the other person's advice and just letting the possum go away
right,
on its own.
Right.
I got to get a different kind of dog that's going to kill the possums.
Yeah, we've got one. We've got a terrier.
Russell?
Well, he's a mix, but he's a terrier.
Well, you haven't seen any possums lately.
Yeah, I know. He's doing a good job, isn't he?
Very good. Somebody else recommended going to get something called Critter Ritter and sprinkling it around the outside of my yard after it rains, and they say that keeps it away. So it's funny when something will bring up a story and it gets a lot of people have had the same. The same kind of instance. Your wife faced down a possum.
Yeah.
I have people all the time saying, my half hound dog treat a possum in the backyard while he was hooked on the chain. That's from Frosty. Yeah, I don't. Again.
Well, your dogs aren't on. You just let
no, they're not
out.
On chains. Yeah. They just go out there. But then my old dog was empowered by cornering the possum, so he treat a squirrel. And even though the squirrel was at the very top of the tree, he was barking there and trying to jump, and he's 13. He's trying to jump like he's going to climb the tree. I'm like, you have brain damage, dog. Just come back in the house, lay on the couch in the sun like you always do. All right, let's get off of this because I have to, pretty soon we have to go, and I might have to stop at White Castle because this news came out the other day, and I haven't been to a White Castle probably in 4 years since I started my new way of living.
Mm-hmm.
But they have now introduced 3 varieties of turkey sliders for the holiday season. Have you heard about this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. A turkey dinner slider, which tops a butterball turkey burger with sweet potato waffle fries and cranberry sauce. The cranberry turkey slider, which doesn't have the waffle fries, that sounds healthier for me. Maybe I just
you don't
go
need
with,
the fries.
I don't need the fries.
No.
I'll just go with the turkey burger White Castle.
Even
I'm
though
sure
they are
healthy.
Waffle fries, so like there's holes in there.
Yeah, it's
so
probably
you're not
one,
getting the whole fry.
One like waffle fry thing. And then the bistro turkey slider, which features what White Castle is calling tangy bistro sauce.
Ooh.
I don't know if anybody's had these, but this, I'm a sucker sometimes, not all the time, very rarely, but every once in a while, I'm a sucker for marketing. And this has piqued my interest because, quite frankly, I miss White Castle. We've got, since we've moved, there's one about 3 blocks away.
You don't need that.
I know I don't need it. There's a lot I don't need. I don't need to be threatened by a possum in my backyard. I don't need to have Yoon looking at me with disdain because he knows I'm going to be late for the hockey game. There's a lot I don't need. Yeah. And I still do them. I still participate in that. So I'm looking at this going, and how big can they be? They're very...
They're sliders.
They're wee. They're tiny. So eight of those turkey dinner sliders, that can't be more, as much as a real hamburger, can it?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think it'll be fine. According to White Castle... The turkey slider trio is perfect for the busy craver on the go. That's me. I am the busy craver on the go. All right, we have to. Speaking of having to go, that's it. The show is over. If you blinked,
already?
You missed it. Yeah, there's a hockey game coming up. So I'll talk to you Friday morning. I'm in for Steve Cochran. Until then, have a wonderful week. Go Hawks. Blackhawks hockey on the way on WGN.